Hello, supply chain enthusiasts. Today we have with us Professor Justin Goldstein from Penn State. I know you've done a lot of research on ERP implementations, and it seems like small and mid-sized companies find these digital transformations much more challenging than big companies. Can you tell us a little bit about this and how you think companies could respond to improve their performance in digital transformations?
I think with any digital transformation, it comes down to organizational change. And from my experience working with the Siemens, working with the Intels, right? They have teams in place to influence change, right? They have the PMOs in place to lead the charge in all these projects that they're kicking out time and time again globally, right?
What are PMOs?
Project management offices.
Okay.
All right, so project management offices, if you're a big boy, you got a portfolio management office and a project management office under that. So they have that discipline in place. So for small and medium enterprises, a ERP implementation may be the largest project they've had in that company's existence.
Wow, yeah.
Right? And if you're dropping a ERP app implementation for like small organizations, this is from experience. And I did my master's thesis in on ERP critical mitigating risk in ERP systems, my doctoral dissertations on ERP critical success factors. So I know a little bit about this. But even from my empirical experience, the small organizations, the leaders of small organizations thinks that an ERP implementation or digital transformation is an IT project. Right. And that's why those small organizations fail, because it's an organization-wide responsibility. Every single department within the organization is accountable. Every single employee within the organization is impacted by it. So you must get insight, you must get input from each individual from the organization. Now, I would say another important piece is risk factor to digital transformations is that leaders do not explain the why. So they go through these cycles, right? They go through these ERP implement the selection cycles, right? They're in these demos for 3 months, right? They drop 1.5 million on the implementation. And now they say, this is what's happening. But they don't explain the why. They don't say, okay, we just invested $1.5 million on this ERP implementation because it's going to make your job easier. It's going to make your job more efficient. Because we're going to increase our efficiencies, now you're going to have additional opportunities within the organization, which is going to lead to an increased salary on your end, right? And I explain in my classes, I explain in my peer-reviewed journal articles where whenever you have any kind of project, whether it's digital transformation, whether it's any project, you have to say where we're going, how we're going to get there, what's your involvement within that project, and most importantly, how is it going to positively impact that person? That's how you're going to get buy-in to a digital transformation. And that's where I see a lot of these small, medium, and small enterprises kind of falling short whenever they're implementing these digital transformations. Where when you look at large enterprises, yes, large enterprises fail. You know, we talk about the Hershey's implementation a lot, but there's other underlying reasons for some of those implementations. Hershey's tried to roll out an ERP during Halloween, during their busy season. Come on now. But so there's a variety of reasons or why every project has their risks. You just have to identify those risks early on in a project.
Okay. Yeah, it's I suppose during Halloween you'd have a lot of chocolate demand.
Yes. I think that they tried to roll out SAP, if I'm not mistaken, you know, during the Halloween. There's been some biggies. Nike had a digital transformation disruption. Warehouse management had a disruption. There's been a bunch of them.
Getting back to the points we were discussing about sort of the vertical consolidation that you're seeing and how importers now coordinating with all these suppliers using ERP systems, using the likes of new systems like TradeLens, and also seeing that there's increasing consolidation in the large enterprise level. If you look at Maersk's acquisition of Damco and how they're folding in 4PL, 3PL operations back into a carrier and integrating that, it's rather interesting. And Maersk rationale, as quoted by their CEO, is they're doing this because they think Amazon are about to do the same. How do you think this massive vertical consolidation in industries is going to affect small suppliers, and how can they compete?
I think that since we discussed ERP systems, whenever I was working with small and medium enterprises, although the SAPs of the world, the Oracles of the world, do have solutions that cater to that small and medium enterprise, these small and medium organizations feel that, okay, SAP is so massive, Oracle is so massive, they don't have time for me. They can't cater to my needs, right? So if we transfer that to the IBM Maersk trade lens type model, I think that we kind of have the same situation where these smaller companies are going to have the same thought, the same mindset in that Maersk and IBM is not going to have time for me. They're so massive, they handle these large organizations where they don't understand my requirements. My requirements are totally different than their top customers. How can they cater to my needs? And I think that that's going to be the mindset as this evolves. And I think there's going to be an untapped market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're certainly looking at a lot of solutions out there. And any single time you start talking about millions of dollars of implementation cost and about change management programs, the cost of that is just simply too high. If you've got a 40, 50 person company or a 15, 20 person company, you don't have time to allocate a full person whose full-time job is to make sure that everybody changes. Everybody in that company probably already has two jobs. Mm-hmm. My hope is that people are going to slowly build systems that have the capabilities of what the big players are using, but mm-hmm. they're easier to use. And there's so many methodologies out there if you look right now. When we're building custom software, we look towards what Facebook is doing, towards what Instagram is doing. We haven't yet gotten to do what TikTok is doing, but certainly, you know, looking towards how does Gmail work and trying to build tools that people can use without training, trying to build tools that doesn't require that such a change management lift, at least from a technology perspective, because it looks like everything they've been doing before. Mm. My hope is that not only will this mentality about building technology that's easier to adopt start to become more mainstream, but that eventually people will also look at taking business processes and making those easier to adopt for small companies. Why isn't it that a big ERP system couldn't also have a bunch of videos on YouTube explaining how to do things? Well, some of them already do.
Yeah, some of them do. Yeah, but it's not on YouTube, but they have them. You just got to pay like 10 grand to get them. But to your point, I think that, and some organizations are doing it where they're offering blockchain as a service, where they're pretty much taking care of all of your blockchain needs. And so you don't have to do all the training. You don't have to do the change management. You know, it is essentially a plug and play solution. Some ERP systems tried this model, I would say about 8 years ago. A lot of ERP systems were trying this plug and play solution. Now, I will say, this plug-and-play solution does work well for startups, right? Because now the startups develop their standard operating procedures around the ERP system. Now, that model works. But if I'm trying to dump a plug-and-play system into an established organization, we had a lot of trouble with that. I was a naive 23-year-old trying to implement.
And what kinds of challenges were you encountering?
So within this solution, you know, you had those... It was very rigid in that we tried to take an application. We looked at all of these modifications that we did over the years and said, okay, we use this modification like five times. We pulled this one out five times. Oh, this was a good one. Let's pull this one out, right? And then we looked at so the system I'm referring to was table driven. Most of the systems are table driven now. So we looked at this table driven system and we said, okay, we're going to pull these 400 tables. What are the most commonly used records for all these tables, right? But now you're kind of pigeonholing yourself into the automotive distributors, the food and beverage distributors, aerospace distributors. So now what happens whenever you get this one-off startup, right? None of this is applicable to me, right? If it's table-driven, how do you set up a chart of accounts, right? That was a lot of the issues because tables are the foundation of an ERP system. Right? If the tables aren't correct, it's not usable. Now, if you had a startup in the correct industry based on the system, it was a slam dunk. But you know sales guys. They'll sell anything. You know, so that's where we had a lot of issues in the past. We were trying to put a square peg in a round hole, right? We're trying to implement a food and beverage app vertical distribution system into a, I don't know, an electronics distributor or something like that. You know, terrible example. I can't think of a specific example off the top of my head, but that was an issue. Now again, that was my experience. Some of these ERP systems could have been successful because if you do take the time to create these fast solutions, these plug and play solutions for each one of these verticals, you could probably get away with it. But you do have some rigidity, right? And I think that in today's world, especially in this COVID world, you got to be agile. And also, for a $10 million company, it may work because they just moved off of QuickBooks. Anything's good. Anything works. That's where I'm coming from. But I do think that this blockchain as a service solution will work within the industry because there is some kind of standardization.
It seems like at its fundamental, blockchain is a database. In the same way that blockchain is sort of a database that moves from double entry bookkeeping records to triple entry bookkeeping records when you add a consensus element in there. Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of businesses creating blockchain database-based systems, but they're still going to have the challenges of figuring out what is it that their customers need and want. And part of the reason that we saw so little adoption of blockchain is a lot of people understood back in 2012, 2013, people started talking about it. 2014, 2015, you started seeing people looking into the implementations of systems. And this was really interesting to a lot of companies because they understood what the benefit of it was. But a lot of people doing the implementations of those technologies had almost zero business experience. Some of them knew how to set up an ICO. Some of them knew how to set up a spiffy website and spin a good story. But it takes a lot more than being able to tell a good story in a 10-page document. It's a much, much harder to go into a company and identify which out of those fields are relevant, what are the ones that we can use, and the kind of people who are going to say, I know that based on my 30 years of experience running a food and beverage distributor, that there's a whole bunch of fields that are over there we just never use, but we'd never got them taken out because it would have cost us $10 million with the ERP company to have the software changes done. But there's these other 15 fields I could really use, and the ERP system couldn't put them in there because they're specific to our industry, and they wanted to charge us another $10 million to build those. So they just never built them, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. But I think that there's a lot of potential within these emerging technologies. I think that the integration of these technologies are going to reshape the ERP space. So I just wrote a few chapters on industrial automation for a university in Germany. And even on the shop floor, we talk about Industry 4.0, but Industry 4.0 is 10 years old now. And I discuss in that textbook where we are entering into Industry 4.5, where we are finally getting to the integration of these applications, integrating machine learning with the sensors, integrating artificial intelligence with the sensors, bringing in blockchain on machines, where as soon as my, like if I'm a food and beverage distributor, as soon as my milk hits a certain level, on that sensor sends my blockchain application a signal. Mm-hmm. Blockchain is set up, a smart contract is set up on that blockchain application. It's now integrated to my ERP system to automatically send a PO. And now that supplier is paid like that. So you have sensor integration, right? Now it's integrated with blockchain. Now blockchain is integrated with the ERP system. Now the ERP system is going to pay the supplier exactly like, I mean, just like that.
When we clear it through customs, you'll also have that additional point of data that lets you know you've got to pay not only the supplier, but your freight forwarder and that trucking company.
Mic drop. Yeah, but that's the ultimate goal. And I think that we can get there, but just as with where we're at within the technology industry, it's going to take collaboration. And that's the missing piece in supply chain management. That's the missing piece in business. We don't collaborate because we don't trust each other. But if these technology companies can truly partner, they say they partner in these conferences and they say they partner on these websites, they don't partner. But if they truly partner, we can get this integration that we were envisioning, that they were envisioning in Germany 10 years ago, right? See, and we can get there. We can have this seamless transaction.
I thought partner meant give me a lot of money.
No. It's that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. That's one thing that's been missing in the history of business. Will we get there anytime soon? I don't know. Probably not. But I will say that if you can create that true partnership, that's going to be your competitive advantage. Because I don't think that your competitors can create that partnership with their business partners. Wow. That's one thing to think about.
That's a really great. That's a very, very great advantage and insight. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I really like that last idea about the competitive value of creating true functioning partnerships. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. The organizations that are going to succeed are going to be the people who are better able to create true value add partnerships.
Yes.
Two companies do what they're best at, what they're specialized at, and get all that junk that sort of sits in the middle, that gets in the way of people performing their best, get all that out of the way.
Absolutely.
Came onto something there.
Absolutely. It can't just be lip service, right? It can't be lip service that, okay, let's partner on this marketing post. No, we have to do it. We have to walk the talk. One thing I've been talking about for most of my career, right? And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't do. You know, it's mostly lip service, it's marketing, and they don't do it. But if they truly do it, they can realize the benefit. If you can pull that off, that's the true competitive advantage. And one thing that I say is a competitive advantage is only temporary. But if you pull that off, that one may last a while.
Also, Professor Goldston, thank you so much again. This has been very, very informative. Look forward to having you on again to discuss and elaborate on some of these other topics we've gone over.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to the next discussion.
Enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, you as well.
Thanks.